thank you for tuning in for another expert interview. I'm Bill Powers, and this is MiningStockEducation.com. The focus of today's discussion is the summer 2017 market outlook for gold, silver, and junior miners. Here to provide insights is the junior miner junkie himself, David Earfley. If you don't know David, David's a self-taught and full-time mining stock investor. He's a weekly commentator to Kitco. He's a speaker at precious metals conferences. And for David, junior mining stock investing isn't a hobby, it's an obsession. David, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me again, Bill. It's great. Thank you.
And David, before we jump in and you offer your outlook, I just want to commend you for the subscription service you launched about 2 months ago. As you know, I'm a subscriber, and I've benefited greatly from your insights. Two key points that I want to share for the listener that might be interested in this subscription is, David, before he buys or sells, he gives you a 24-hour notice. He sends out an email alert, and he alerts you as to why he is buying or why he is selling. Sometimes it's based on the resources or the geography of a company. Other times it might be an extreme speculative bet based on a rumor of a potential buyout. So what this allows you to do is basically get to see inside the head of a professional mining stock investor why he's entering and exiting positions. And this was really a key service. David doesn't front run his subscribers because he tells you in advance what he is going to buy or sell. Second thing, among other things that you can benefit from the subscription, is that you're introduced to many new junior mining companies that you might have never heard of. David attends many conferences, researches full-time, so the positions that he holds are thoroughly thought through, and by looking over his shoulder, which is what this subscription provides, you're able to see potential investing opportunities that you could potentially invest in yourself. So I do recommend it. If you want to go to juniorminerjunkie.com, you can check it out. There's reviews there. And I must say that those reviews that are posted there, I read them recently, they are accurate. Now, David, jumping into your forecast for this summer, the first 2 months of last summer, 2016, gold and silver were rip-roaring straight up, and everybody was excited and happy. The metals aren't quite doing that right now, the precious metals, kind of moving sideways. There are some concerns I've heard from different commentators about the metals continuing to trend potentially even downward into the summer. We know about the traditional summer doldrums. With all that in mind, what is your expectation? What is your outlook for gold and silver going into the summer of 2017?
Well, as far as gold is concerned, we're bumping right up against that downtrend line from 2011 when the market started to go down, when the gold started to go down. And I think it's about the third time it's bumping up against that trend line. And the GDX is basically saying that it's not going to break through it. The shares have been really, really lackluster. And I think that is due to a few reasons. The big reason is the GDXJ rebalance that's been talked about so much on the internet and at conferences. Frank Holmes just did a big presentation on it at the Metal Writers Conference, and it's been front ran by a lot of hedge funds, and institutional shorts have come in and taken advantage of something that is supposed to take place on the 16th, but as far as the VanEck fund manager are concerned, they're able to do it beforehand, and it's obvious that they are doing that. I know I've gotten away from your question as far as gold is concerned, because I'm not really an expert on where the gold price is going to be. I'm more of an expert on what the shares are doing in relation to the gold price, and what the shares are doing in relation to what the majors are doing as far as where they're putting their money right now.
With the gold price, what would be the key factors that you see as a catalyst or a suppressant for the gold price this summer?
Well, I think you have one coming up here on Thursday. The snap election in Great Britain. There's been a couple more terrorist attacks, and if you recall, the last time we had an election based on Brexit in the UK was in about the same time last year. Gold and the shares were beginning to roll over. People were thinking, okay, here we go. This is a correction of the big up move we had in January. And lo and behold, the Brexit vote surprised everyone and brought in a lot of safe haven buying into the gold market and continued the share up move until August. And that took a lot of people by surprise. And what you're seeing right now is a lot of people, a lot of pundits in the sector are basically saying that, look, the shares are saying that gold's going to get hammered. And I think that's true in some respects, but it's not true in others. And where it's not true is a lot of them aren't factoring this GDXJ rebalance enough into the equation. Another catalyst I see is the next Fed meeting on the 14th. We had a really bad non-farms payroll report on Friday. So I don't know what the numbers are now, but the before that report came out, I think the rate hike was about 90% priced in. It's maybe a little less now. But and also you have the GDXJ rebalance, the official date is the 16th, which is 2 days later. So I'm expecting a share turnaround probably around that time, 14th, June 14th, 15th, 16th. I think you'll have the shares turn around there.
Could you see gold and silver doing a double bottom as some have projected, you know, going back to the lows of December 2015, January 2016? Is that in your potential forecast?
You know, I've learned not to take anything off the table in this sector, really. You know, you have to keep squarely in the back of your mind what are the absolute worst possibilities that could happen, and then you take that and you apply that to whatever due diligence you're doing on any particular company or companies. Like, what is a sub $1,200 gold price, or what is a sub $1,100 gold price going to do to this company if the gold price stays below there for a quarter or two quarters? What will it do to that company? And if you do that, you'll do pretty well in this sector, I think. The gold market is, you know, it's gold is very fickle. It's when you have it in your mind, wow, look at this, all the stars are lined up, it's about to go, it's about to zoom, something happens and it goes the other way on you. It's really difficult, you know, to project a long-term gold price, even a short-term gold price. Yeah, well, as far as double bottom is concerned, I think the shares will be telling you if that's going to happen or not first. And that's what a lot of people are thinking right now with the share action, because the share action has been terrible. I mean, especially today and Friday, you got gold is looks like it's going to go to 1300 on this move here, and the shares are not having any of it. They keep flagging here on the daily, the GDX, but I don't see a breakdown either. So it's going to be very interesting how this is going to resolve.
If someone was looking to enter the junior gold market for the first time this summer, where would be some of the best opportunities that you might point them?
Well, my presentation at the just concluded Metal Writers Conference in Vancouver was about basically following the money. And you see what these majors are doing. You see them taking strategic investments in developer explorers. And some of them are even taking strategic investments into microcap early stage explorers. So basically, if you see what they're doing, you see, like, take a look at what Eldorado just did attempting to take out Integra. Why did they do it? Well, I think they did it because most of their operations are in risky countries. They've got most of their assets in Turkey, Brazil, and Greece, three countries that I don't want to be in as far as when I'm investing in junior miners. So I think that was kind of like a panic move on their part. They want to get a foothold in a very safe jurisdiction that has a low currency that is helped by the low oil price in that currency, and that is Canada. And they're also Quebec even gives you a 35% check back on your exploration costs in that jurisdiction. So if you see what these majors are doing, you see what they're buying, And also what that does when they're giving this money to these companies is it's basically non-dilutive, meaning they've given the company $10 million, bought 10, 15, 20% of the company, and they're saying basically, look, here's this money. It's an investment. We trust you to do the right thing with it. Take your time. Do the right thing. We're not selling. We're not in for a double or a triple. Okay, these majors basically need to replace their ounces, and the criteria for doing that during the last bull market did not work out too well, where they pretty much bought a bunch of low-grade bulk tonnage deposits that they ended up having to write down later. So now they're taking that a different philosophy and saying, "Hey, look, we got to replace our ounces with high-grade quality deposits, and the only way to do that is to take strategic investments into these companies."
So then, in where to look, then, would you say potential buyout targets and companies in which some of the majors have invested significantly recently?
Yeah, I would take a look at what they're investing in and take a look at the specifics of the deals that they're investing in. Okay, why did they do this? Okay, why did they put the money into this company? Okay, look, it has a strategic land package. It's in a safe jurisdiction. It has management that's done it before. You know, it's got room for growth. I mean, they need large land packages because they're not looking for 1 or 2 million ounce deposits. They're looking for potential for three, four, five million ounces. So you have to look at you could eliminate a lot of companies by just looking at that right there. Okay, if this company doesn't have a strategic land package, if there's not a possibility for that many ounces, then move on. Don't even bother investing in it.
David, before you go, I want to ask you a tip about entering and exiting junior resource stocks. As you know well, some of these stocks are very illiquid. You know, you might not even have $10,000, or sometimes you don't even have $5,000 worth of shares traded in a day with some of these microcap explorers.
Right.
Considering this low trading volume, how do you enter or exit, let's say, a $10,000 to $30,000 position and not be stuck with partial fills or multiple commissions because your order was filled over, you know, numerous days? What are some of your strategies?
The first thing you do is you put in a good till cancel order. That eliminates the fact of you trying to buy different parts of the order by paying more commissions. So if you enter a good till cancel order, it's not gonna be canceled for at least 3 months. So you put in a limit order for what you want to pay for it, and that order stays open for 3 months. And in my experience, it's either gotten filled or the stock has run away from me, and I'm not gonna chase it. So also you have to make sure you do extra due diligence in these, because these early stage exploration plays that are illiquid, most of them, they haven't even got the cash yet, or maybe they just got the cash and all they have is targets. They don't have a resource, so they're really, really risky. So if you are going to invest in these, like I said, you just put in a good till cancel order, and basically you're married to the position for a while. You really have to give it time. You have to be patient with them. And also, it all depends on how much money you're putting into them. You know, if you're putting, a couple thousand dollars into them, then, it's definitely worth it just to do the good till cancel. Because if you try to put in daily orders, you're just going to keep, like you said, you're just going to keep racking up commissions. And that is not conducive to what you're trying to do.
David, I appreciate you stopping by and sharing your insights. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me again, Bill.
Thank you for listening to this Mining Stock Education podcast. Please subscribe and share with like-minded investors. Visit us on the web at miningstockeducation.com for more resources on precious metals and natural resource investing. At our website, you can also sign up for our free newsletter for interview transcripts, stock picks, and more. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be considered personal legal or investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities or any other product. We make every effort to be accurate, but the information presented is not to be considered infallible. It may contain errors, and we offer no inferred or explicit warranty. If personal advice is needed, consult a qualified legal, tax, or investment professional. Do not base any investment decision on the information contained on miningstockeducation.com, our podcasts, or videos. Make sure you always conduct your own thorough due diligence before investing. Realize that we may hold equity positions in or be compensated by some of the companies we feature and therefore are biased and hold an obvious conflict of interest. For our full disclaimer, please visit our website.